Okay, today I've been asked to speak on Lesson 6. The scripture from Lesson 6 that Max Lucado covers is chapters 3 in James, verses 1 through 12. The subject is taming the tongue. I was listening to Caleb on Monday morning, and they had housewives who were calling in and talking how they were teaching the word to their children. And this one housewife said that she went to the drugstore and bought a tube of toothpaste and got out a plate and told her kids to squeeze all the toothpaste out of the tube. Out of the tube, that's better. And they did, and she said, now put it back in the tube. And they said, Mom, we can't do that. And she said, exactly, that's how your words are. Once you say them, you can't take them back. So that was what she was teaching her kids that particular day. And I thought that was pertaining to what I was going to talk about today, taming the tongue. The James 3, 1 through 12. Verse 1 starts, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I thought I was going to get a pass on that one because I'm not a teacher. We've had Pastor Demo, Demetrius Warren here. We've had Luke Smith here. We've had Greg Reed here. Those guys are all professional teachers. But you know, the more I studied about it, the more I realized that we're all called to be teachers. And we'll all be judged. If we know the truth and don't tell it, we'll all be judged more sternly than those that don't know any better. As Christians, we're called to spread the love of Jesus to the ends of the earth. In that respect, we're all teachers. So then, we must all pay heed to this verse. Verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Anybody who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Question, anybody here perfect? Raise your hands. That's what I thought. You know anybody that's perfect? Just one, right? Just one guy that's perfect. Right. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also as a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. I remember a play that the kids at church put on one Sunday, and one of them was dressed up as a tongue, and her older sister was like a lion tamer. And so she was trying to tame that lion. It was cute, and it had a point. That you can't do it. A big sister can't tame her little sister. And I can't tame my tongue. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Guys, our words matter. They make a big difference to us, to a lot of people. They can build us up. They can encourage and motivate. But they can also tear down, hurt, and cause horrible scars. Remember the saying we use as kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? Don't believe it for a minute. Words can hurt. Words can and do cause horrible scars, and some of us will carry for a lifetime. Solomon, perhaps the wisest man who ever lived, tells us in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words may be used to bring satisfaction, healing, restoration, or destroy others. Karen Carpenter died unexpectedly of heart failure at age 32, brought on by years of self-abuse from the eating disorder anorexia nervosa. What brought on Karen's fatal obsession with weight control? A reviewer many years before had referred to her as Richard's chubby sister. It seems hard to think that a single negative comment could alter the course of someone's life, but that is the power of the tongue. Words matter to God. He keeps a record of our words. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of the judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Our whole lives come under review on Judgment Day. Particularly telling, however, is our speech, because it reflects what is in our hearts. How should we use our words? We should refrain from attack words. Don't use words as a weapon to hurt others. God wants us to use words to bless others. In Matthew 5, 44 and 45, Jesus says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Refrain from gossip. There's only one thing as difficult as unscrambling an egg, and that's unspreading a rumor. Listening, or maybe putting toothpaste back in the tube, come think about it, but remember that he who gossips to you will gossip about you. Listening to gossip is just as bad as telling gossip. In Proverbs 20:19, Solomon warns us, "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone that talks too much." In chapter 16, verse 28, he says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." A gossip separates close friends. In his book, The Tales of the Tardy Ox Cart and 1501 Other Stories, Charles Swindoll relates the following. "Perhaps like me, you've received a phone call from someone who says, 'I want to tell you about so-and-so.' And I'll say, 'May I quote you on that?' There's usually a long pause. And then they say, 'Well, I'm not sure that's such a good idea.' Invariably, my answer would be then, 'I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say.' If you're not interested in putting your name on it, if you're not interested in being there when we confront the individual, I'm not interested in listening to you, to what you have to say." Now, here are three truths about gossip. One, never say anything about someone that you wouldn't say to their face. Two, never say anything about someone unless they are there to respond. And three, refuse to listen to someone else gossip. Use clean words. I saw a sign once that said, "The use of foul words reveal the efforts of an ignorant man to sound important." I saw that in the basement of your church, John. Having a foul mouth is not something to be proud of. Some words are just not supposed to be said. Used to work with a guy that was the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet, usually. But he was a supplier contact, and whenever there was a supplier that wasn't getting us the parts that we needed, the horrible, awful stream of expletives and bad words would come out of his mouth. And we were in an office area, we're all in cubicles, and everybody in the room could hear what he was saying because he wasn't saying it quietly. And we looked at each other and say, "Does he kiss his mother with that mouth?" In chapter 3, verse 10, James says, "Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." When God asked Adam if he had eaten the forbidden fruit, he tried to blame Eve, and he even blamed God for giving her to him to be his companion. He was trying to bring others down to make himself look better. He neglected to think and realize that God knew the truth before he began to speak. We need to remember that as Christians, we're called to minister to non-believers. We should not allow careless words to compromise our witness. People are watching and listening for guidance or to catch us compromising ourselves by using thoughtless words. should use truthful words. In Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, "But let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Lying will destroy your credibility. Lying leads us into the tangled web of trying to remember what we told who. It's much easier and less confusing to tell the truth initially because you can remember what the truth is. You don't have to remember what you made up. Be honest. Remember that as Christians, we have a responsibility to be an example to the world. Use edifying words. Now, I'm not really a scholar, and I've used the word edifying a lot, but I never really realized what the true meaning of that word was. So I looked it up. It says the meaning of edifying is instructive or informative, then improves a mind or character. So edifying means instructive, informative, and it improves the mind. In Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Zig Ziglar said, "He climbs the highest who helps another up." You may have made attempts in the past to make changes to the way you use your tongue that ended in failure. What can you do to successfully change this time? You have to transform the tongue. Transforming the tongue begins with a change of heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18, "But what comes out of the mouth comes out of the heart, and this defiles a man." The heart influences the tongue. When it's full of anger, selfishness, envy, and pride, we are affected in everything we do. The problem is not out there, it's within us. We need to change from the inside out. Our focus needs to be transformed. Instead of looking for the bad in a situation, we need to look for the good. Instead of being preoccupied with self-interest, we need to focus on the needs of others. Changing our hearts is a good place to start. Think before you speak. As we have been reminded more than once during this study of James, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 say, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Listen and strive to understand before you speak. Measure your words carefully. Here's an acrostic to help you evaluate whether what you're about to say is something you shouldn't. Think. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? If what you're about to say doesn't pass this test, then don't say it. Again, think before you speak or act. In his book, He Chose the Nails, What God Did to Win Your Heart, Max Lucado relates the following story. The ugly part of me showed its ugly face the other night. I was driving on a two-lane road that was about to become a single lane. A woman in a car beside me was in the lane that continued. I was in the lane that stopped. I needed to be ahead of her. My schedule was no doubt more important than hers. After all, am I not a man of the cloth? Am I not a courier of compassion, an ambassador of peace? And so I floored it. Guess what? She did too. When my lane ended, she was a fender ahead of me. I growled and slowed and let her go ahead. Over her shoulder, she gave me a sweet little bye-bye wave. I started to dim my headlights, then I paused. The sinister part of me said, am I not called to shine a light into dark places? Illuminate the shadows? So I put a little high beam in her rearview mirror. She retaliated by slowing down. To a crawl. This woman was mean. She couldn't have cared less if the whole city of San Antonio was late. She was not going to go beyond 15 miles per hour. And I wasn't going to take my lights with her. And I wasn't going to take my lights out of her rearview mirror either. Like two stubborn donkeys, she kept it slow and I kept it bright. More unkind thoughts than I care to confess, the road widened and I started to pass. Wouldn't you know it? A red light left the two of us side by side at an intersection. What happened next contains both good and bad news. The good news is she waved at me. The bad news is her wave is not one you would want to imitate. Moments later, conviction surfaced. Why did I do that? I'm typically a calm guy, but for 15 minutes, I was a beast. Only two facts comforted me. One, I don't have a fish symbol on my car. And two, the Apostle Paul had similar struggles. I do not do the things I want to do, and I do the things I hate. While this scenario didn't involve the use of Max's tongue, it does show how our actions can be effective when we act before we think or pray. Our hearts are naturally full of pride, selfishness, and anger. When we do not consider what we are about to do or say before we act or speak, we are likely to end up questioning ourselves just as Paul did. I'm pretty sure that Paul and Max are stronger Christians than I am. I'm pretty sure that probably most everybody in here is more stronger Christian than I am, but then that's just an opinion. But we do not consider what we are. Okay, I'm pretty sure that Paul and Max are stronger Christians than I am, and if they have this problem, then I'd better ask myself these five questions before I speak or act. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? THINK, the acronym THINK. Having given all of this self-help advice, the fact remains that James says in chapter 3, verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. What are we to do then? We've heard this advice several times already during the study of James. I saw a meme yesterday that one of my friends had posted on Facebook, and it was an old cowboy talking to a young kid that was wearing a cowboy hat and boots, and he said, if people open their Bibles as often as they open their mouths, the world would be a much better place. You need to be in the Word daily. The key is wisdom, not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God. But actually, James has been called the Proverbs of the New Testament because it's a book about wisdom, as Solomon's book was about wisdom. Seek wisdom in the Word of God. In Colossians 2, 2 and 3, Paul writes, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 says, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. 1 Corinthians 1, 24, Paul states that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Humility is key. If you notice, when Max was talking about wasn't he more important than she was, wasn't his schedule more important than hers, he wasn't exactly being humble about it. And he realized that later. Humility is the key. Humble yourself before God and seek his wisdom in his word. Be in his word, reading, studying, and meditating daily. Second, pray to God for help and strength to control your tongue. It says that no man can control his tongue, but through Christ we can do all things. You need to be in prayer and asking God to strengthen you and to give you the strength to control your tongue. Remember that James says in verse 8 that no human being can tame the tongue. We must ask for God to guide us and give us the strength to control our tongues. Remember to remain humble. Pride is the source of many problems in controlling ourselves and our tongues. In Psalm 19, verse 14, David prays, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Pray that God will strengthen you and guide your thoughts and words, that they may be acceptable to him. Remember that no one is strong enough to control the tongue on their own, but with God's help, all things are possible. Will you pray with me? Father, change us from the inside out. Purify our hearts so our speech will be pleasing to you. Keep us from using our words to manipulate and hurt others. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to use our tongues to sing your praises and to build others up in faith. Now please bless the table discussions and bless all of us as we leave this place to serve you. Help us to honor you in everything we do. Amen.
Amen.